KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly cloudy sky. It's 41 degrees. We look for it to be partly cloudy to cloudy today with a chance of light rain and a high of 55. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with a check of state and local news. In state news, the Iowa Senate has passed a bill that would let adult women in Iowa skip the requirement of a prescription and be able to buy birth control at the pharmacy counter. Republican Governor Kim Reynolds expressed support for the concept last fall, and Senator Liz Mathis, a Democrat from Cedar Rapids, praised the Senate's bipartisan 42-6 vote.
This is really quite a big day for the state of Iowa to do this. I'm not excluding men here, but I think women understand intimately the issue around access to birth control.
Three first-term senators, all women, urged their colleagues to vote for the bill. Republican Senator Kerry Kelker of Dyersville was one of them.
As a mother of a daughter, I think that this is another layer of options for our women in our state. Helps with family planning and unwanted pregnancies.
Chris Knoyer of LeClaire, another Republican who was just elected to the Senate last November, says the bill will give Iowa women access to affordable birth control.
It is responsible, it is under the supervision of a pharmacist, and it has been an established, proven method of birth control that has worked for many women all across this country for many, many years.
Republican Senator Tom Green of Burlington, a retired pharmacist, said Iowa pharmacists have had 6 years of intense training about proper dosage levels and will recommend women seek a doctor's advice if there are any concerns.
And it behooves all of us to do what we can to make sure that young women today have access to proper care.
First-term Senator Clara Selsey of Des Moines, a Democrat, voted for the bill but expressed deep reservations about it, partly because she had an adverse reaction to birth control.
No offense to Senator Green, but pharmacists are not doctors. Pharmacists can refuse a woman birth control. Did you know that? They're ethically opposed to it.
First-term Republican Senator Marionette Miller-Meeks, an eye doctor from Ottumwa who is a former nurse and the former director of the Iowa Department of Public Health, guided the bill through the Senate. She urged her colleagues to trust women to make this decision.
I'm going to rely upon my experience with women and caring for women, that were intelligent, that were capable, that were knowledgeable.
The bill now goes to the Republican-led House for consideration. In Southwest Iowa news, Creston police say one person was arrested following a traffic stop Wednesday evening. Authorities say 40-year-old Dustin James Seeley of Creston was arrested for driving while suspended. He was released from custody on a promise to appear in court. The Harlan Police Department reports three recent arrests. Last Saturday, 34-year-old Reed Jeffrey Heminger of Harlan was arrested following a traffic stop. Heminger was charged with driving while suspended, operating a non-registered vehicle, and no proof of insurance. Last Friday, 19-year-old Callie Renee Pita of Harlan was arrested on an active warrant out of the state of Minnesota. She was transported to the Shelby County Jail. And 27-year-old Winston Joseph Leal of Harlan was arrested following a call for a disturbance. Leal was transported to the Shelby County Jail and charged with domestic abuse assault. Sheriff's officials in Pottawatomie County said yesterday a man was arrested Tuesday night for OWI first offense. 50-year-old Joseph Askern of Council Bluffs was taken into custody at around 8:20 p.m. after a deputy was dispatched to a location in rural Underwood for a reported disturbance. Askern's bond was set at $1,000. There were also several inmate transfers from various jails in Nebraska to the Pott County Jail on Tuesday, and you can read the list of those persons under the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. A Nebraska woman has pleaded not guilty to stealing from a now-closed Sears store in western Iowa. Woodbury County court records show 39-year-old Sandra Martinez of South Sioux City, Nebraska, entered a written plea last week to the theft charge. The records don't show that a trial has been scheduled. The records do say Martinez stole $400 on the first day she worked at the Sioux City store, and $1,000 was stolen the last day she worked there. That store closed earlier this month, one of 80 closings the troubled retailer had announced in late December. A former farmhand charged with first-degree murder and the abduction and killing of 20-year-old University of Iowa student Molly Tibbetts will have his trial moved about 250 miles away to Woodbury County. The Des Moines Register says a judge on Wednesday approved a motion filed earlier this month to have Christian Bahena Rivera's first-degree murder trial moved out of Poweshiek County. Rivera's trial is now set to be held in Sioux City on September 3rd. His attorneys had argued the trial should be moved to allow for more minority representation in the jury pool. Rivera is accused of killing Tibbetts, who disappeared while out for a run last July 18th in Brooklyn, Iowa. Investigators recovered her body a month later in a cornfield. Authorities say she was stabbed to death. Rivera, a Mexican national, is also accused of being in the country illegally. He worked at a dairy farm a few miles away from where Tibbetts disappeared. The Iowa Insurance Commissioner, Doug Ullman, has issued a bulletin to assist individuals and entities regulated by the Iowa Insurance Commissioner as emergency response teams and other citizens work to address the flooding that is affecting Iowa consumers. Ullman says when a disaster hits, insurers help to play a large and important role in Iowans getting back on their feet. He's asking all insurers licensed in the state of Iowa, and especially health insurers, to stand with Iowans during the disaster. This action, he said, will make sure that extenuating circumstances due to flooding don't cause consumers' policies to lapse, nor cause Iowans to be charged higher out-of-network rates should they need to travel outside of their normal coverage area to see a health provider. Should Iowans need assistance, Ullman says, the Iowa Insurance Division is here to help you with any questions or concerns about your insurance policies. You can go to a link under the same story on the news page for more information regarding disaster assistance and travel information. Information from the Iowa Insurance Division about flood insurance and the importance of consumers reviewing their insurance policies can also be found under a link on the same story. And Iowans may contact the Iowa Insurance Division if they need assistance at 515-281-5705. Well, the assessment of flood damage to Iowa roadways continues. The Iowa Department of Transportation's Director Mark Lowe recently toured flooded areas on the western side of the state, and he says some of the damage is not major.
There's quite a few places where we're in pretty good shape. Lots of debris on the road. We're going to focus on getting the debris off. We're going to be testing the next few days, but there are places where we feel like we're going to be able to reopen relatively soon once we get our safety and structural integrity testing done.
And then there are areas where a lot of road work will be needed.
The southern segment of 680, where you get to the downstream side, where the water has come across the road and then runs over that downstream side, it's like a low-head dam, and it just corrodes the material underneath, erodes the material underneath. So we've got quite a few places along 680, some spot places along 29, and certainly places along 34, where we're going to have to go back and replace, if not shoulder, substantial segments of the road.
Lowe says they're in the process of completing the testing to determine exactly what needs to be done to each segment of the roadway. He says we've got a lot more to learn in the next few days. Once the testing is done, he says they'll start getting the repairs made.
There's going to be quite a bit of focus in the next 180 days on going through all the spot repairs we need to make, as well as taking on the more major repair and replacement projects. And we still haven't been able to get the water off the road on 29, south of 2 and down to the border.
And he says there is what's called ER federal funding that can be used to make the repairs caused by the flooding.
Once the state's gone over, I think it's $750,000 in necessary repair costs to highways that are considered federal aid highways, which is not only our interstate highways, but the U.S. highways and most of the paved roads in the state, including county roads. Then you're eligible for that funding. So we're in the process of making the request for ER funding to have that open up.
Lowe says the spring repair job that was going to be a bit more than normal after a brutal winter has instead turned into a big project.
What's ironic is, we were looking at the damage that we had just coming out of the winter, where you've got so many potholes and other things opening up because of all the freeze-thaw cycles. And we had just approved through our Transportation Commission a $12 million amendment for pavement rehabilitation.
And the DOT has issued another reminder to motorists that if you see a barricade, don't drive around it. They also say that while some structural damage to the road is very visible, damage to the ground underneath the road may be more difficult to see. And even if the roadway may look clear, the ground underneath the pavement may have washed away. And driving over that pavement may cause it to buckle or fail. Just because a road looks safe, officials say, it doesn't mean it's safe. Barricades are in place to protect you from hurting yourself, damaging your vehicle, and potentially causing further damage to the road. And finally, in state news, closed interstate highways and submerged train tracks are creating challenges for moving grain and livestock. But Mike Steenhoek of the Soy Transportation Coalition says washed-out county bridges and impassable gravel roads are equally important because local infrastructure connects farms to global markets.
And it's also the system that is largely the responsibility of local and county government. And these are entities that are not flush with money.
Iowa State University livestock economist Lee Schultz says some livestock trucks early on had to take longer routes or go to different meatpacking plants, but Schultz says businesses work together to keep up with meat processing, and it may never be clear whether the flooding affects consumer prices.
It likely won't be one that we can really isolate. Here is the impact, and it was a rather large impact. I think it was, you know, it's something that, you know, over time we may realize a little bit, but overall I don't think it's going to be too much of an impact on prices.
He says prices for meat are volatile thanks to ongoing tariffs and animal diseases, so it may never be possible to ease out whether flooding affected consumer prices. And Schultz says prices, especially for pork, are pretty good, and demand for meat is high despite the considerable impact on individual farms. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.